One man who's been working hard to verify military movements and weapons in eastern Ukraine is Elliot Higgins. He's a weapons researcher and the founder of Bellingcat, and he's been trying to find out where and what kind of weapons are being used in eastern Ukraine. What sources are you looking at to monitor what's going on in Ukraine?
Well, there's a variety of sources. A lot of it comes through social media accounts belonging to various people inside Ukraine and also in Russia as well. It's kind of a process I've developed whilst tracking the conflict in Syria, where you try to gather all this information together and try and turn it into some kind of order. With Syria, because you've got a very limited internet access, you kind of have YouTube channels that belong to one town or Twitter accounts that belong to one unit. The thing with Ukraine, because there's so many, the internet hasn't been cut off, everyone has free access to the internet, so the information's all over the place. So it's actually quite a lot harder to track the information coming from Ukraine.
What are you still confused about in the situation in Ukraine? What are you still trying to clarify?
Well, really, it's kind of the positions of where people are, where units are positioned. And, you know, there's certain incidents that do seem like Russia's firing from over the border into Ukraine. And that's been going on for several weeks now. So that's quite interesting. And finding little bits of evidence that point towards that is something I've been keeping an eye out for.
Now, you're independent. You famously started out doing this from your sofa. But now you're considered an expert. What have you learned from watching war through your screen?
One thing I've learned is how information from wars can be gathered in a new way now. It's not just, you know, you don't have to be some CIA agent on top of a hill in the middle of a dusty desert spying on a camp. Now, you know, if you want to see what jihadists are doing, you just look at their sort of YouTube accounts and their Twitter accounts because they post everything online. You know, recently we've seen so much information coming from the Islamic State. We've been able to identify one of their training camps in Mosul in Iraq, for example. So there's a lot more information out there that can be analysed and turned into kind of useful intelligence, and that can be acted on by, you know, journalists on the grounds, like we did with Ukraine and the MH17. We can also use that to, you know, help human rights organizations kind of direct their efforts.
So you see the value of your information. You mentioned the Malaysian Airlines that was shot down in eastern Ukraine. You're posting it in a sort of open way, and you want people to use it, whether it's an intelligence agency or a journalist.
Yeah, so for example, with MH17, we had a number of photographs and videos that showed the missile launch that was linked to the attack in various locations. And, you know, by sharing that information online and working with people collaboratively, we were able to locate exactly where these pictures and videos were filmed. And then based off that, we were able to actually figure out the route it travelled. And using shadows, we could actually tell the time of day. So we actually began to put together a timeline of where this actual missile launcher was during the day of the attack.
Now, in recent days, you've been trying to figure out where journalist James Foley was killed. Do you worry about ethics or your own security or the security of others in posting this material?
Well, in the case of the James Foley analysis, I actually purposely blanked out everything except the train. So James Foley, the flag of ISIS, I blanked that all out, and all I had was the train, because it just felt like that image was being overused quite a lot in the media. The thing is, I've spoken to James via email. You know, he was asking me questions about some stuff he saw in Syria.
You had been in touch with James Foley yourself before he had been captured?
Yeah, just before he disappeared, he had been sending me video clips of cluster bombs being used in Syria. They were incendiary cluster bombs, and he was asking me about them because it was the first time they'd really been used in the conflict. And we were just exchanging emails back and forth, and he was asking me what they were, and I was telling him what I knew. And as for my own safety, you know, I'm certainly not going to be taking any holidays in Syria or Russia in the next few years, but, you know, I'll just say stay safely in Leicester, I think.
It's been such a hard time for journalists in places like Syria. There's a sense now that it's too dangerous to really cover these stories that are vitally important for the world to understand. And your approach fills some gap in that knowledge. Where do you think this kind of data collection and sorting and the kind of things you're doing, where do you think it's really going?
I think there's a great value for it for different organizations. I mean, you look at media organizations. It was very interesting when we were doing our work on MH17, how many media organizations took our work and then went, you know, instructed their journalists on the grounds to actually investigate what we had found and confirmed what we had found, which they were able to do. What I think may happen in the future, if you're a media organization and you aren't figuring out how you're going to work with this, you're going to start getting left behind by the organizations that do. Because there's a lot of information out there that will make very, very good stories that just isn't being looked at. It's as simple as that. So I think, you know, there's all kinds of different uses for it. And I think in particular, media organizations need to think seriously how they're going to use this.
Elliot Higgins is the founder of Bellingcat, a site for citizen journalists covering conflict. Elliot, thanks so much.
Thank you.